So what's one of the greatest needs for us humans, all of us here? What's one of the greatest needs? And I think you would agree that it's peace. We all need the peace of God in our lives. We need peace with ourselves, with others. But it's so rare. Aaron talked about Clarence. And as far as people in our lives that have peace, no matter what's going on around them. And that's the life that Jesus calls us to, is that we have a peace that transcends any kind of understanding. Jesus, when he went to heaven, he left the disciples. They were hurting. And Jesus comforted them. And in John 14:27, he tells them, "The peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives." It's the kind of peace that only I can give and the world cannot give. And so we know that only Jesus can give this type of peace. The world gives a false peace that's temporary, it's phony, and it's fragile. And we know we can't get this peace in a program, in a pill, or from a doctor, or in any experience, except with an experience when we're with Jesus, a person. So we find peace in a person. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. There's 790 verses on peace. And you'll be thankful I'm not going to cover all of them this morning. And there's 365 verses, so one for each day on fear. So God knows, for every time when we are struggling, when we have a broken heart, there's a verse for comfort. And when we're confused, there's a verse to guide us. And when we're ashamed, there's a verse that shows us that God has fully forgiven us. Even when we don't believe that we've even forgiven ourselves or other people. And when we're worried, that Jesus comes alongside, and in the Holy Spirit's ministry, he gives us a confidence that we can keep going. So how do you get peace from God? So we're going to look at three different types of peace. Curtis, you can just... Three kinds of peace. The first kind of peace is peace with God. And it's a spiritual peace. It's eternal. And it's most important as it affects all the others. And so if you turn to Romans 5, and if we can look at Romans 5, I was covering this in my Bible plan this morning, and I was reading it and just reminded of its truth. So Romans 5, and when you're looking at the first verse, it's all about peace and hope and how they're together. And this isn't working. So, Curtis, if you can just move it ahead. So, Romans 5, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God." So peace with God. This is an eternal peace. This is a spiritual peace. And we know that it's not for anything that we do. And today, that's what we struggle with. When we're hurting, maybe it's something we need to do more. But this is recognizing that Jesus did it all. He did it all for us on the cross. And now it's just responding to his love and understanding there's nothing more for us to do except receive this love and live out that love. So even while we're enemies, it says later in Romans 5, verse 10, when we were enemies, that God made peace with us because of what his son did for us on the cross. God wants to restore our relationship with him. And Jesus paid the price that we could have never paid. We don't even understand what Jesus did for us. So this type of peace is what the Bible Project was really focusing on. That shalom, that peace with God, our Maker, the one that made us. And it's so important to recognize in our life that God is God and we are not. And understanding that He made us and He's given us His word so that we can live the best life for His glory and for our good. And so this is an eternal peace because he has an eternal plan. And so often we don't see the big picture, right? And God sees the big picture. He made us. He sees everything. And He is a loving God. And that's why we focus so much when I came here on the goodness of God, to understand that God is good. And so many people struggle with that. But when you read the word and you enter in a relationship with Jesus, you can't help but understand that He is good all the time. Even when I struggle, that Jesus is there and He's helping me. So that first type of peace is peace with God, and we desperately need it. The second type of peace is the peace of God. And it's as far as emotional peace. So the first one's spiritual, this one's emotional. And this is peace with me, peace with yourself. It's desperately needed, it's internal. And we all struggle with keeping that peace. As when Aaron read in Colossians 3, when you look at those verses, and you particularly look at verses 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So this is something that we need to do. We need to rest by seeing this promise that we understand that Jesus died for us and Jesus has given us a peace. So let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. So for every problem that we have, there's a verse and there's a person that you can seek and you can ask and that will comfort you and guide you. And it's so important to be in the Word of God, because as far as when we pray and we open up the Word, that we get so much encouragement that you can't get from any other person. And in my own life, that's the comfort that I have. That in life and death, I know that God is good and that He's got a plan. And that gives us peace, doesn't it? And I know many of you have gone through terrible, terrible things in your life. And this peace is so needed in our lives. And we understand that there is a difference between true peace and false peace. There's a difference between true love and false love. There's a difference between true hope and false hope. And that's why truth is so important. And that's why, as your pastor, I can't encourage you more to be in the Word yourself and to understand God's promises. And as you spend time and you experience His presence, that He gives you a peace internally that you can't get from anywhere else. As we spent time on this cruise ship, it was a really nice time, but it was also an example where you saw that there is true peace and there's false peace. And you could look at this. There's a lifeboat on there. But it also, as we looked around and we got to talk to so many people, and that's what I love about going on these cruises, is that people invite you into their lives. But you can understand, as far as this ship, if we just look at it without Jesus in our lives, what there was there's gambling. This was a casino ship. So we didn't know that when we went on there, but alcohol was given to pretty well everyone. But the point is if we're left to ourselves, that we will die. And that you could just see the results of our choices. And you could see people died on the ship while we were there. And you could see when we don't look after ourselves and we have habits. So life is about choices, isn't it? And we can understand that when we look at other people's lives, and Brenda was right, we get fearful, especially when we love them and they're making choices that we know is going to hurt them. So it's so important to have that internal peace in your soul, your mind, your emotions, and your will, that you're getting that soul rest. The third type of peace is relational peace. And it's talking about the peace that we need to have with others. It's external. People notice it. It's the most obvious, right? Because if you're not a person of peace, you're going to show that to others. In Ephesians 2:16, if we can go there, we'll understand this type of peace. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:16, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and to peace to those who were near. And it's all about experiencing God's peace, and then you have peace with him, and you have the peace of God, which is in each of us as we embrace a relationship with Jesus and a closer relationship, even when we're hurting, when we go to him. And then we experience the peace that we can even share with others, like Aaron was talking about, like Clarence. So peace with others is so important, and it messes around with the relationships in our lives. And a close relationship with God, having peace with him, peace with yourself, that stabilizes our relationships. So we need to love God first, and that leads to healthy relationship. That leads to unity, even in churches. When we're together and we can say, no, we need to love Jesus first. Then you're able to love others in a more healthy way. And you're able to love yourself. It just makes sense, doesn't it? And that's because God made us. So there's three steps that I want to leave with you to enjoy God's peace. Let's see if this is... So if we move to that, yeah, thank you. So we need to experience a moment of clarity. And the most important one is having encounters with Jesus, having that first encounter where you understand that you need him, that you need to be rescued. And that's when we're born again. When we just, from simple faith, childlike faith, that we say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I know that I can't do it on my own. I need you. Will you please come into my life and save me? Will you be my Savior? And I desire for you to be Lord of my life. And that's where you count the costs, isn't it? And that's where it really gets difficult. Because those costs are great. So we need moments of clarity in our lives. We've been studying Colossians where they got it. They got it. You either get it, but you get those moments, don't you, of clarity? And like they happen in different times. Like we see in the Bible, we look at Mary. She had an angel come to her and spoke words of scripture. And then we see Joseph, who had a dream. And then we see the shepherds who saw a miracle in the skies. The wise men, they were looking at the stars. And he's in creation. They had a moment of clarity. And then we see Elizabeth and Mary. She had a moment of clarity, Elizabeth did, just in relationship with Mary. So it all comes different. Different times that God speaks to us. And he gives us moments of clarity, where we understand and we just get it. And we understand that he is God and we are not. And that we desperately need his help. So what leads there is that we get an understanding where we need to humble ourselves. Right? So it's all about an attitude where we understand that a pathway of pride leads to conflict, and we humble ourselves, and that leads to peace. So whenever you see conflict, right, you just see where there's pride usually involved. They usually go right together. And James 4:6 says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And Isaiah has lots of passages about that the Lord gives us peace. And I learned in my own life, and we all have to learn in our own life, that it's not in my whining or complaining that God is most near. It's when I cry to him for help, when I humble myself. And many of us are like, right, we're having a tough, even at the start of the year and last year. And we remember what God has done in our lives and how he's helped us. When I look at like Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I think that's one of the toughest verses in the Bible, isn't it? So we have to make a choice, and we have choices in life that we can either worry or we can worship. We can either pray or we can panic. We can either live, those of you that are born again, that are believers, that have the Holy Spirit in you, you can either listen to the Holy Spirit or you're going to listen to your sinful flesh. And you know what the consequences are. And moment to moment that we have that choice. So I want to leave you with a verse. Well, it's actually two verses. And if you can all open your Bibles to Matthew 11, 28 and 29. And here I think is what all of us, if we really believe this, these two verses, that it'll lead to peace. A peace that we can't get from anywhere else. So Matthew 11, 28 to 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And then verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So come to Jesus. And there's many reasons that people came to Jesus, right? They're asking for healing, forgiveness. They had questions. They looked for advice. They wanted to have peace for their souls. So we understand that the source of peace is a person, Jesus. And then we need to connect with him. Because it says right here really clearly, how many of us are weary and burdened? And we need rest for our souls. All of us do, right? As humans, our souls get tired. And yet the world will tell you to do more. And it's not about that. It's about getting rest. So connecting with Jesus. And if I asked you guys, if I asked, what is a yoke? It's an old English word, right? And many people wouldn't know what it is. But a yoke is a wooden object that they put on animals, farm animals, so that it would lighten the load. So it's like if I had a yoke on me and a horse, and I was carrying a wagon, like I was pulling a wagon. And you can imagine how thankful I would be that I'm yoked to this horse. Because this horse is much stronger than me, isn't he? Wouldn't you agree? And he's going to carry the majority of the load. So a yoke is about a symbol of partnership. And it's about partnering with Jesus. As we put the yoke, and it's by faith that we understand that Jesus needs to lead us. The Holy Spirit, we need to keep in step with him. And we have to allow Jesus to change us. So this yoke is so needed, especially when we're going through times when we're tired and we feel defeated, that we just, by faith, we just say, Lord, I come to you and I want to connect with you. And that yoke, I need you. Please lead me. And you cry out for help. And I really think it's so needed in our life that we really see the need to ask for help. Lord, help me. And how many of us can look in our lives when we've been yoked with Jesus and he has the right pace? He's got the strength. He's going to help us. And we need to continue to be yoked with Jesus and allow him to lead us. And it says that Jesus is gentle and humble. And these are two of the antidotes for the biggest stresses in our lives. And when you think of it, if I wrote the Word of God, it would be scary, right? But God says gentle and humble. Because a man, in his foolishness, might say, well, no, it's about endurance and stamina. But that's not what Jesus says, is it? Or do more. Just do it. It's not about that. Jesus says, I'm going to teach you. I'm gentle and I'm humble. And I will lead you. And he gives us the rest for our souls. So the only way to experience true peace is following Jesus. So this year, what I want to challenge you and leave you with, like, we can get stressed out, right? We can get overwhelmed with the different things in our lives, can't we? Very easily. And God knows that. He made us. What I want to just encourage you is that to be yoked with Jesus, to come to him, to connect with him, and allow him to lead us, to help us. So are you ready for that change? And it's all about just letting go, isn't it? It's simple, but it isn't. But so I just want to leave you with that, to allow Jesus to lead us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. And I'm reminded that the world, even listening to Sheldon's message, the world's Prince of Peace was like Julius Caesar and Caesar Augustus and the emperors. But that's not who gives us peace then or now. It's only you, Lord Jesus, as you lead us. And so help us to understand that we need greater peace. And that greater peace can only come as we humble ourselves and we come to you. And we allow you to lead us, that we don't get overwhelmed with the world and ourselves especially. So help us, each one of us. You know exactly what everyone is going through this morning. It's your church. We are your sheep. And you are our shepherd. Help us just to look to you. To keep our eyes on you and find the peace that you only can give us, that lasting peace. Help us, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.